1, 2, 3. Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now listening to WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you all on this January 30th, 2019. And let's just get it out the way. Let's talk about the weather just for a second. It is. Yeah. Yeah, ice cold, Andre. It is ice cold outside right now. We are setting records as we speak here on this Wednesday, January 30th. One of the coldest days in the history of our great state of Michigan. It's, you know, I woke up this morning and, you know, I looked out the window and thank goodness many of you, you know, don't have to go to school. Many of you have either gotten a day off from work or you're working limited hours. But we're still rocking with you here on WKAR's Current Sports. It's a bit modified because we aren't live right at 1 p.m. It's a live to tape show that we are recording on this morning, and we're bringing it to you here at 1 p.m., even though we recorded it earlier on in the day. Connor Mathis, he is certainly godsent, seeing as though he is a student here at Michigan State University, student engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, just like Alec Rio and Jack Kerwin. And for just the seventh time in the history of Michigan State University, the university has canceled classes due to weather, and there's a pretty good possibility that may happen on Thursday as well. So Connor, not having classes, still said, "Al, I'll come in and we can record the show early." And I said, "Yeah, let's do that because you know I want you to enjoy your snow day." So much love to Connor Mathis behind the glass. And Connor, you know, I woke up today and I looked out the window because, again, we're recording this earlier than usual, right? Normally, we're on 1 p.m. live. And I looked out the window, and there was a part of me. There was a part of my soul that said, "Al, don't do this to yourself. Why? Why?" So I kind of feel like Marshawn Lynch today. You know, I'm just here so I don't get fined, right? And, you know, I looked outside and just so much snow. And I walked outside, and I don't think I've ever felt, you know, what negative 23 degrees feels like. And I walked outside and said, "Wow." Well, at first, there's a moment. Let's be real. There's a moment right when you come outside from a cozy place. There's a moment where I'm like, "Oh, this isn't too bad." I had that moment. And I'm like, "Oh, this isn't too bad. I mean, negative 23 degrees. It doesn't even feel like that." And that's until, like, you know, I walked the 50 feet to my car. By the time I got to my car, I'm like, "Oh, my gosh. I can't feel my body." So, you know, I turned on the car, warmed up the car, and as I'm warming it up, I have to, like, brush off the snow that, you know, the small snow that we got from last night, and it really started to hit me then, and I was really regretting not bringing my scarf. I was still bundled up, but I didn't have my scarf to cover my face. So, my you know, when you get really cold, you're like your mouth goes numb and you don't want to talk a lot because it's hard to even talk and move your lips. So it is just really cold outside, folks. Just please, if you do not have to leave the crib, don't. Stay inside. Be safe. For those who have to be on the road, for those who have to travel, please be safe. Take your time and dress accordingly. It is nasty outside, all right? And you know it's cold when, you know, when I, as I mentioned, you know it's cold when Michigan State University says that we are canceling classes because this is only the seventh time that the university has ever done this in the history, the long history of Michigan State University. This is only the seventh time that MSU has canceled classes due to weather. 1967 was the first time, then 1975, then 1978, and then you have to fast forward the clock all the way to 1994, and then you gotta go to 2011, which I remember. I was a student. I was a junior here at Michigan State University in 2011 when classes got canceled for the first time since 1994. And it was like party central, folks. I'll never forget that. You know, that was such a historic moment. Everybody just kind of turned up that night, which we did at my apartment complex. Can't lie to you. And that's when, like, the Nintendo Wii had just come out, Connor. And we had invited some people over, and we played the Nintendo Wii Michael Jackson video game that night. And just enjoyed it, man. Enjoyed having a day off from class. But I'll never forget that in 2011, man. That was a pretty fun time. And that was actually my, come to think about it, that was actually my senior year. Because I was, I'm getting my memory mixed up then. Because that was, I believe that was like the spring semester of 2011. So that wasn't like the fall semester of 2011, because that would have been my senior year going into my senior year, because I graduated in May of 2012. So, but crazy, man. I'm wondering, you know, how was campus last night knowing that you had a snow day coming up, you know, the following day? How was campus at for students, student-wise at Michigan State?
I think most people skipped their afternoon class. I mean, it was like, it was cold yesterday, but right. I mean, I think a lot of people just said, you know what, screw it, I'm not going to go to the afternoon class, I'm just going to bundle up. Yeah. But I mean, it's funny, like the second after the classes were announced they were canceled, you know, all of a sudden, oh, Dublin's half off. We're starting at noon. All these bars coming out with these deals. They knew the second that class got canceled.
Yeah, because that's what I was wondering. You know, because you know, this never happens, right? Classes never get canceled at Michigan State University. So I'm pretty sure that a lot of students said, "Oh man, we got the day off tomorrow. Let's turn up tonight, baby." So I'm pretty sure there were a lot of people out last night. I'm assuming.
I don't know. I didn't see many people go out last. Didn't see many people out last night. But then again, I wasn't on Grand River that much. I went to pick someone up from work. But other than that, I was like, yeah, I'm staying in.
Smart man.
But no, it's funny you brought up Nintendo, because literally when I'm done here, I'm just gonna go home. I'm gonna make some food. I'm just going to play Mario Kart, Super Smash Bros. Rest of the day, take my day off, and hope they cancel tomorrow, too. So,
which it's looking like they may. They may. Be. I mean,
it's going to be cold.
We've never experienced temperatures like this. It's due to, of course, the polar vortex, and it's ridiculous. I mean, like, I believe, like, the shelf life of you having exposed skin outside.
5 minutes.
It's like 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
For you to reach frostbite.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is insane.
Funny enough, last night we were watching Day After Tomorrow. I'm like, man, documentary on right now.
Exactly. We're living through that right now, I feel like. Yeah. It feels like the apocalypse outside right now. All right, folks. We plan on warming you up throughout this hour of current sports with some sizzling hot sports talk. We got a lot to get to on today's current sports. We'll recap a bit of what happened last night as the Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team was able to lay the smackdown on Ohio State at the Chrysler Center. We'll also dive into Super Bowl Media Day, and I'll have my takeaways from Super Bowl Media Day, which is always a very colorful event. Also, Tom Izzo, his press conference was yesterday, and we played to you a bit of what he had to say during yesterday's press conference at the Breslin Center. But I didn't get a chance to elaborate on one soundbite involving ESPN and Tom Izzo's feelings toward ESPN in light of what occurred last season when ESPN came out with a story that criticized his leadership, that criticized his MSU men's basketball program due to a few off-the-court incidences. Okay? So ESPN, I'm sure, before this soundbite, I'm sure was on maybe Izzo's not-so-great list. But Izzo shined some light onto how he feels about the network, especially when it comes to especially when it comes to the fact that you know, ESPN will be here in East Lansing on Saturday for College Game Day. All right, I'm gonna play some audio for you all, and you'll get a chance to hear what Izzo had to say concerning the worldwide leader. We'll also kind of dive into the Anthony Davis sweepstakes, some interesting conversations and rumors floating around in the National Basketball Association. And I hope to get to this question on the back end of the show. Should you be allowed to review and challenge the pass interference call? That's a hot topic that we have not yet really dove into. Of course, this conversation is gaining some steam based on what happened in the LA Rams and New Orleans Saints NFC Championship game. All right? So that and so much more, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with some news coming out of Grand Ledge High School. Grand Ledge has named Eaton Rapids head football coach Joe Breyer as the school's new head football coach. Now, Breyer replaces Matt Bird, who left to take the head coaching position, as well as the athletic director post at Muskegon Reefs Hoofer High School. Joe is a former player and assistant coach for the Comets. He was the head coach for Eaton Rapids in 2018. He also has been an assistant coach and head coach at Homer High School. So congratulations to Joe Breyer and Grand Ledge High School for that new hire. All right, the Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team cruised to a 65-49 win over Ohio State last night. Xavier Simpson was brilliant, becoming just the sixth University of Michigan men's basketball player to record a triple-double with a career-high 12 assists to go with 11 points and also 10 rebounds. Now, it was quite a night for the 2016 Ohio Mr. Basketball and the Wolverines, who held the Buckeyes to their lowest point total in the rivalry since 70 years ago to the day when Michigan triumphed to a 54-48 win at Yost Fieldhouse. Can you believe that? The Wolverines will now set its eyes on the road to take on the Iowa Hawkeyes come Friday night. Also, new Michigan football defensive line coach Sean Nua has agreed to a two-year deal with Michigan that is scheduled to pay him at least $800,000. Nua's memorandum of understanding signed on January 17th was obtained by the Detroit Free Press via a Freedom of Information Act request. The 37-year-old former Arizona State and Navy assistant will earn a base salary of $400,000 per year. His deal will run through January 10th of 2021. He's also eligible for Michigan staff bowl bonus plan or $25,000 per year, whichever amount is higher. So dollar bill, y'all. Again, new defensive line coach Sean Nua getting paid at least $800,000 through his two-year deal. All right, the Detroit Pistons, the Eastern Conference leading Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA, with Pistons owner Tom Gore seated courtside, easily fended off the Detroit Pistons with a 115-105 victory at Little Caesars Arena, an easy win for the Milwaukee Bucks last night. And with the loss, the Pistons sit at 21-28 on the year. That's three games behind the Charlotte Hornets for the NBA's Eastern Conference eighth and final playoff spot. Now, Reggie Jackson tied a season high with 25 points. Blake Griffin, he scored 18 points, only his second game with fewer than 20 points this month. Andre Drummond added 20 points and grabbed three rebounds, but just not a great stretch of basketball right now for the Detroit Pistons. They're an eyesore to watch right now on the hardwood. Speaking of NBA, the NBA fined New Orleans Pelicans superstar Anthony Davis $50,000, quote, for violating a collectively bargained rule prohibiting players or their representatives from making public trade demands. Davis's agent, Rich Paul, who also represents L.A. Lakers superstar LeBron James, writings on the wall, I believe, right, told ESPN that Davis has no plans to sign an extension with New Orleans and that his client wants to be traded. The NBA said the statements made by Paul were, quote, an intentional effort to undermine the contractual relationship between Davis and the Pelicans. And, you know, it's funny, Connor. This story is intriguing on a lot of different levels, and we'll certainly dive into this in more detail later on this hour. But the fact that Anthony Davis is represented by agent Rich Paul, who also represents LeBron James, I just get the feeling now that it's only a matter of time before we see Anthony Davis in the purple and gold. What do you say on that?
I mean, he's either going to end up there or, I mean, the only scenario I see him not going there is if for some reason he thinks he can find a better situation somewhere else, which, I don't know, maybe he likes the Celtics more, maybe he likes the Raptors more, I don't know. But the only scenario I see is if Anthony physically says, yeah, I'm not feeling L.A.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, why wouldn't you want to go play with the best player on the planet right now, in LeBron James, who is trying to search for yet another ring? And, you know, you look at Boston, you brought up the Celtics. I'm seeing a report now that Kyrie Irving, I tell you what,
isn't sold.
The universe just comes full circle, right? Kyrie Irving actually is open to playing with LeBron James. Again, he went on record to say this. You know, he apologized to LeBron for being that knuckleheaded young player because he's experiencing the same thing with the young players that he's playing with in Boston. He apologized to LeBron James. I don't think he needed to tell the media that, but he did. And now he goes on record of saying that, yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to playing with LeBron again. And Anthony Davis, if he does go to L.A. to link up with LeBron James, there's another story that's come out now concerning Klay Thompson.
I've been saying Klay Thompson's been giving the same signals Kyrie did before he left Cleveland.
Yeah, he has. Klay Thompson has been, you know, leaving some breadcrumbs out here that he does not want to continue to play with the Golden State Warriors. But Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com, he now reports that the Warriors star in Klay Thompson, quote, his attention will be on the Lakers this offseason. That's if they land Anthony Davis. How crazy would that be? Can you imagine Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Klay Thompson on the same team? It has previously been reported that Thompson won't take a discount to remain with Golden State. This summer, Thompson and teammates Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins will all hit free agency. Draymond Green will be a free agent the following offseason in 2020. But this is the NBA now today, folks. It's a linking up league, a superstar on superstar league now. And frankly, you got to have at least two superstars on your roster if you want to have some kind of realistic shot at an NBA title. All right, some NFL news concerning the Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford does have a new quarterback's coach for the third time now in four seasons, with George Gotsy set to join new Miami Dolphins coach Brian Flores' staff after the Super Bowl. The Lions are now hiring Houston Texans quarterback's coach Sean Ryan as his replacement. Now, Ryan spent the last 3 years with the Texans and worked the last two as Deshaun Watson's quarterback's coach. So, again, Matthew Stafford having to adjust now to a high turnover out when it comes to the Lions and a quarterback's coach now, which has got to be frustrating when you're trying to find rhythm as a starting quarterback in the NFL and you constantly have new quarterback's coaches coming in. That's got to be a bit frustrating. And also want to note here, this news came through yesterday that UFC lightweight champion Khabib Nurmagomedov and Conor McGregor have been suspended by the Nevada State Athletic Commission for their roles in the infamous UFC 229 brawl. Khabib received 9 months, while McGregor received 6 months. These suspensions are retroactive to the October 6th fight card, which took place at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, meaning that Khabib is able to return to the cage as soon as July 6th and McGregor on April 6th. In addition, Khabib has been ordered to pay a fine of $500,000, while McGregor must pay $50,000, and Khabib's fine will be withdrawn from the $1 million of his purse still being withheld for that fight. I'll never forget the aftermath of that fight. It's one of the craziest scenes you'll ever see after a after any contact fighting event. Whether that be boxing or UFC. I've never seen anything like that, and I knew that the UFC was going to lay down the hammer. And Khabib is so angry about this that he has gone on record to say that he will no longer fight in Las Vegas. He wants to actually return to New York to fight. So, and to that I say, you know, Connor, what did you expect, Khabib? I mean, looking at how ugly that was after that fight, you expected the UFC to turn the other cheek here and not fine you and not suspend you. So it's just like, come on, dude. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving.
Advice would you give this guy as he gets ready to take on the big bad Patriots?
I'm not giving him any advice. They got a great team. I got to go against that guy all night, so that's what I'm concerned about. And I know how great of a player he is. They got a great defense, best D-line in the league, a couple of the best interceptors probably ever playing this game. So I got my work cut out for me. We'll be right back.
I love that response from Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. That was a snippet from Super Bowl Media Day. Now, I mean, the Super Bowl now is what? It's Wednesday, so that means, 4 days away now from the Super Bowl. I can't believe that. Of course, the Super Bowl taking place at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. The LA Rams and the New England Patriots getting ready to throw down. I can't wait for this game. I think it's going to be entertaining on many different levels. And you just kind of give, you get a small glimpse into just how competitive Tom Brady is when you hear that snippet, asked to give Jared Goff some advice heading into the Super Bowl. I mean, that's just, what kind of response did you expect from the uber competitive athlete that is Tom Brady? I'm not giving him any advice. In fairness, though, Jared Goff did kind of take a really small, it was a small jab at Tom Brady's age when he was asked about, Tom Brady winning his first Super Bowl, where he was. And he said, I don't even think I really remember it. I was really young. I don't even think I was really into football at that point. But Tom just smiled about it and kept it moving. But media day for the Super Bowl is unlike any media day you'll ever see in sports. I kind of think about when I hear media day, I think about media days here at Michigan State University and the media days that are held for, the MSU men's basketball team or MSU football. Media days are usually about the game, about preparation for the game, about the X's and the O's. A lot of cliche sports talk, to be honest with you. It's light to a degree. I know when we do media days here at Michigan State for the football team, for the basketball teams, it's very loose. It's not real hardcore X's and O's. It's more so about expectations leading into the season. It's more so about, what do you learn from the year prior to. But it's at the same time, it's still just centered on the team and about the game. Media day for the Super Bowl is everything but that. It's so relaxed, and you really get a chance to see the personalities of these players because they're asked questions, what's your favorite movie? who's your favorite artist, musical artist? What do you listen to before a game? Tell me about your family. You get questions like that. And every once in a while, you see a few celebrities in the building who have a mic and are walking around talking to the athletes. It's a true spectacle because the fans are allowed to be in the building and attend. Some of the players will sign autographs. There is this elaborate introduction that happens for both teams. Loud music is pumped in and is played. It's just a fun time. Super Bowl Media Day is an event. It truly is. And, looking at just the spectacle that we saw for both the Rams and the Patriots, the announced crowd for this quote-unquote event, which was at actually State Farm Arena, where the NBA's Atlanta Hawks play, I guess the total number was 10,000 spectators, along with another 2,000 media members. I mean, that's crazy. It's impossible to conduct a normal media scrum, a controlled media scrum, which those are really never controlled. It's just kind of just firing questions at the respective athlete or coach and just letting them kind of go, right? I'm used to a media scrum of maybe at most 15. The usual media scrum, maybe 10. But when you have 2,000 media members, and looking at some of the images of reporters who are around some of these athletes, like a Tom Brady, I mean, it's got to be like 70 or 80 people sticking their mics out, trying to get some kind of audio, right? Trying to pick up some kind of sound from these athletes. And I don't know how the athlete or the coach responds to a question, because there's got to be so many questions at a given moment flying around. It's somewhat of controlled chaos, right? So I just want to give you guys a few takeaways. I meant to get to this on Tuesday's edition of Current Sports. A few takeaways that I had, a few things that I learned from Super Bowl Media Day 2 days ago. For me, it seemed like when I was watching this, there were more Patriots fans in the building than Rams fans, Connor. It was like an overwhelming advantage, New England, when it comes to the fandom for both of these teams in comparison. When New England was introduced, which, by the way, they came out in a cool way. They all had on like cutoff hoodies to, you know, pay homage to head coach Bill Belichick. I thought that was awesome. But it kind of gives you a preview as to what the fan disparity will be come this Sunday. I think there'll be more Patriots fans in the building than LA Rams fans. I could be wrong, though. I could be wrong. Again, we're just talking about a 10,000 spectator sample here. So, the pregame music, you know, it is truly, it's like a concert whenever they have Super Bowl Media Day. I love it. I love it, man. Also, the Patriots began their media session 10 minutes earlier than the scheduled 9 p.m. Kickoff time for that media day, which made it a little tough for media members to kind of plan around that. But hey, that's the Patriot way, right? I mean, be early, not on time, because being on time is late. All right. Also, Bill Belichick, you never see him in a suit. And he was also wearing a suit during last year's Super Bowl Media Day. But Bill Belichick was rocking the suit, looking suited and booted for Media Day. It's just different to see Bill Belichick suited and booted and not rocking the hoodie and, you know, the Scully. So that was kind of cool to see. It's always cool to see, you know, Bill Belichick dressing up for a change. And then, you know, when looking at the spectacle that is Super Bowl Media Day, the Rams cheerleaders opened the evening with a performance. I tell you, it was a true spectacle, folks. And I had no idea that the Rams cheerleaders, they actually have men on the cheerleading squad. Connor, that's different. That's cool. I like that.
I think they're the only team in the NFL with a male cheerleader.
I remember when we had that discussion on the air, and I think that there was another. I would have to look it up, but I think there's another squad as well in the NFL that was trying to maybe, also have male cheerleaders, but I don't know. It may be. We can look that up. But I thought that was a little bit different. And then, you know, when it comes to the ovations with the players, again, just reading the crowd, right? The Patriots, I told you, they had an overwhelming fan base in comparison to the Rams fans that showed up for Super Bowl Media Day. So, you know, Tom Brady had a huge ovation, as you can imagine. But also, you know what surprised me? Because it didn't hit me until, like, maybe, like, 2 minutes after. Todd Gurley got a huge ovation. Maybe a bigger ovation than Tom Brady did. But then it hit me that, oh, yeah, Todd Gurley did go to the University of Georgia. And he did star there. And the Super Bowl being in Atlanta, I'm sure there were a lot of Georgia fans in the building as well that were rooting for Todd Gurley, that are rooting for Todd Gurley and wanted to voice their appreciation for what kind of player he was there. Also, you know, I thought that, it was just really cool just seeing the former players who are in the building, who are interviewing the players of the Super Bowl. And you know what? I tell you what, you know, Connor, have you been watching a lot of Nate Burleson on the air?
I love Nate Burleson. He's great.
Isn't he awesome at television?
Yeah, he's great.
He is fantastic. I know he's on that morning show.
Good Morning Football.
Good Morning Football, that's on the NFL Network. And they had him on the broadcast of Super Bowl Media Day. And he's just so polished, man.
Yeah, he's great.
He is awesome. And it's cool that you know, looking back at his career, he was a Detroit Lions player. So
he calls games every so often, too, and he's really good at that, too. I mean,
really?
Yeah, every so often. I think he's on CBS's rotation, but, you know, every right. once in a while, he'll get a game. He's good.
Well,
he's good at everything
I've
TV.
I've seen him on the panel with, like, Boomer Esiason and the fellas on CBS, but I've never heard him actually, you know, call a game as a color analyst. But, you know, just watching Nate, man, I mean, he's just so polished on the air. He's got great takes. He's just really comfortable with a camera in front of him, man. So that was also cool. Again, he was on the broadcast with other you know, former NFL superstars like Deion Sanders, Willie McGinnis, Michael Irvin, Trent Dilfer as well. But, you know, it's just really cool because I know as soon as Super Bowl Media Day was done, Connor, as soon as that was done, I know Bill Belichick said, all right, let's get to business now. Now that that's out the way, let's really hone in and get to work. And now, you know, looking at what's going to happen Sunday, and again, it's only Wednesday. I'm not going to spoil my prediction right now. But this game is going to be close, I think. And there are some really solid arguments that you can make for both teams. But looking at Bill Belichick, you know, answer questions, even, you know, and Bill had fun with even some of the quirky questions that were thrown at him. You know, he handled it well, but he still has this very serious undertone. No matter what, even in a really relaxed environment like that of what we saw two days ago, Bill Belichick still has this aura that, yeah, this dude, he means business right now. He knows that they still have a game to play. And this is not all fun and games. He's done this so many times now. He's used to it. And he knows the kind of tone that he must keep as the head coach of his program. Sean McVay was, you know, he's certainly, well, any coach for that matter, in comparison to Bill Belichick's demeanor at the podium. Any coach in comparison to Bill is going to come off as more colorful, right? But Sean McVay seemed to have a much better time than Bill Belichick did at the podium. And it was also, final takeaway, also very cool to see Ndamukong Suh there just taking in the Super Bowl. Boy, oh boy, he's come a long way, right? From playing on the horrible franchise that is the Detroit Lions to now in Atlanta competing for a Super Bowl ring. And I also learned that I didn't know Ndamukong Suh's sister actually played for Cameroon, the national team, played soccer. That's pretty cool. Very, very cool. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'm going to play for you guys a snippet of Tom Izzo when he was asked about ESPN and whether or not there are any ill feelings toward the worldwide leader in regards to what happened last year and the high criticism that network had of his program. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, Tom Izzo, in addition to, of course, putting to bed the Purdue loss on the road this past weekend, in addition to addressing the injury to Josh Langford, which we still don't know exactly what is wrong with Josh Langford. I think what we can come to the conclusion on is that this is much more than just your standard sprained ankle.
All right, this is a little bit more serious than this, than that, I should say. And Izzo joked that, you know, he's done an MRI, he's done an XYZ. He came up with all these funny names to call these different tests, and said that, you know, we just don't know. You know, this is puzzling. You know, we don't know how much longer he's going to be out. We don't know the exact problem. Can't give you a timetable. So right now, Josh Langford's injury continues to be a big question mark. Izzo also went on to address, and as you heard on yesterday's Current Sports, he was a bit fiery in addressing it. You know, the criticism of playing the young pups, specifically Foster Lawyer. And he said, look, man, you know, Cassius Winston is going to have to keep on playing a lot of minutes. You know, Foster just is still going through some growing pains being a young guard in the Big Ten. And he went on to talk about Draymond Green and how Draymond played, you know, only 11 minutes as a freshman. And he brought up, you know, Denzel Valentine and so on and so forth. So in addition to all of that, to all of the basketball talk, Izzo commented also on the fact that ESPN is going to be coming to frigid East Lansing this Saturday. And what place isn't frigid here in the Midwest, right, with this polar vortex? But ESPN coming to East Lansing this Saturday for the College Game Day show with Jay Williams, Seth Greenberg, Jay Billis, Reese Davis. They will be present on Saturday, and we all know about the history of ESPN just last year and how outside the lines and Paula Levine's reporting was very critical of Tom Izzo's leadership, was very critical of the Michigan State men's basketball program. There was this whole piece that talked about the situation with Travis Walton and, you know, why was he still on the team? You know, he was dealing with some off-the-court problems. Then it talked about, of course, the situation involving former guard Keith Appling as well as a former forward Adrian Payne and an alleged incident that happened at a dorm room with a young woman. And it really went after Izzo. And due to an investigation taking place, Izzo could not comment. You know, I've never really seen Izzo fluster during a press conference. He commands the room. He is confident. He's witty. He's funny. He shows a lot of personality. He's honest and transparent during his press conferences, as many of you already know. But I've never heard Tom Izzo. I've never seen him frustrated due to the fact that he can't answer a question. And you could see on his eyes that he wanted to so bad. He wanted to say so many things, but he just couldn't. And he had to just say, look, I can't comment on any of that. I can't comment on that report. There's an investigation taking place. All I can do right now is just voice my support for the Larry Nassar survivors. And there was always an ESPN reporter present after these games asking about that situation. So, you know, we've all wondered, you know, what the relationship is with Tom Izzo and ESPN now due to what happened last year. Are there any ill feelings still lingering based on that report? And again, by the way, you know, if there's some kind of, you know, vindication here, if you want to put it that way, the NCAA, after conducting its investigation, found that Tom Izzo was not in the wrong. And Izzo actually addressed that during the first practice of this new basketball year and said that, look, I don't think you can ever feel any vindication for a situation as serious as this. But, you know, I stuck to my guns and I truly believe that I did it the right way. I did things the right way. And that's ultimately what the investigation found out. So at the end of the day, does he have any ill will toward ESPN? I want to play a snippet courtesy of WLNS right now. Izzo commenting on his relationship with ESPN and the healing process that this moment, come this Saturday, the healing process that this can be a part of.
I'm the leader of this place right now, of this part, and the leadership in me says that whatever went wrong, there were a lot of people injured, hurt because of it, and then you have to heal. And for me, this is part of the healing process. And ESPN coming here and their basketball part of it and their show that only goes to 8 universities in the 3 a year, I think is a privilege that we hopefully will take advantage of and continue to, you know, to heal, continue to mend wounds. And that's where I'm at with it. And everybody's got their own opinion. I'm asking you to take a look at mine. And, you know, you forgiving and forgetting and dealing with things is part of life. And, you know, there'll be a lot of people that feel differently both ways. And I give you how I feel. That is strictly how I feel. If I don't feel that way, or our fans, everybody's got to do what they got to do. But I'm telling you this, that I think it's our opportunity to show the world that there were some mistakes, I guess, made. There were a lot of people that paid a price for those mistakes. It doesn't make everything perfect, but it does mean that we're trying to move forward and heal and show people that this is an incredible place.
I love that. And when you hear people talk about Tom Izzo, and I'm not saying this to you know, suck up to Tom Izzo in any way. You guys know I always keep it 1,000, not 100, 1,000 here on Current Sports. I'm going to tell you how I feel. When you hear people talk about Tom Izzo, you always, always hear people comment on how good of a guy he is. I've never run across anybody off the record, not on the air, not trying to do an interview, just running into people that have worked with him, running into people that know him and his family. They always comment on how genuine and how great of a person he is. And that truly speaks to of course Izzo's character. And that's why that's what also made last season so jarring when this report came out about Tom, and what made it just very, to be honest, very awkward. You know, as a reporter being around the program, it was a very awkward and trying time for Michigan State University and Tom Izzo's men's basketball program, for Mark D'Antonio's football program, as a Spartan fan, just trying times. And Izzo, looking at this, looking at ESPN, looking and watching that report that was very critical of him and his program, to sit there, as you just heard, and say that, look, part of the healing process is figuring out what's right and what's wrong. And people are going to reach out to you in different ways. And I think this is a great thing for our fans and our university. It's a part of the healing process. I think this is the best way we can show that this is the kind of support we give our players and our program. For him to embrace a network, because he I tell you what, if Tom went on record to say, no, I don't want ESPN here, I don't want game day here. Do you see what they tried to paint me as last year? If he would have came out and would have said that in a very, you know, angry way, in a way that was like, look, you did me wrong, you think I'm going to welcome you to my university? He would have been in the right. Tom Izzo would not have been wrong to do that. But Izzo realizing that he is right now, he really is the face of this university. He realizes that he is in a position to embrace a situation like this with love, not hate, not with any kind of revenge or negativity. He realizes that it's bigger than him. It's bigger than his program. That this is a moment that can show what Spartans truly are. And sometimes it's about swallowing your pride and just being a good human being. And Izzo realizes that ESPN is bigger than one or two or three or four or five people. There are some good people that work for that network, and he's very close with guys like Billis, with guys like Greenberg. They've been very good to him. He has a relationship with those guys. He realizes that they weren't a part of that. Billis had a different take. You know, Billis, I believe, defended Izzo during those very trying times and trying moments and said, look, we need to press the pause button here and just see what comes out of this investigation. So I think that Izzo being the bigger man here speaks to his character. That was really cool to listen to. It really was. And I think we all could learn a lesson from what Tom Izzo had to say just then. So again, ESPN's College Game Day will be here this Saturday morning. Admission is totally free. Doors open at 9:30, and the program will begin at 11. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this snowy and frigid Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. You are listening right here, live, on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, as we come up here toward the end of the show. Again, folks, be safe. It is one of the coldest days we've ever experienced here in this great state of Michigan. Looking at lows of negative 20 plus degrees. Stay warm, stay inside. Don't go out if you don't have to. To close out the show here, I do just want to say, when it comes to, you know, what we're seeing in the NBA right now and what we've been seeing for a long time, you know, superstars linking up with other superstars and Anthony Davis now wanting to be traded from the New Orleans Pelicans. He's going to be on the market. The Anthony Davis sweepstakes are live and in full effect right now. I think he's going to end up with the LA Lakers. But this is the NBA that we live in right now. Can it be a turnoff? Without a doubt. And I don't know how small market teams in the National Basketball Association, how you can't even compete anymore. You know, I just really don't know. You would have to really just hope that you hit the lottery in the NBA draft and hope that whatever superstar you hopefully get doesn't leave you when that superstar becomes a free agent in a few years. But, you know, Anthony Davis, I think, is going to end up with L.A. Lakers. And I do believe that if that happens, I think the L.A. Lakers do become a legit championship contender. We all knew that is the kind of move that LeBron and Magic Johnson were going to have to make in order to compete with the beast of the West, the best of the West, that is the Golden State Warriors juggernaut. So we'll see what happens there. Also, I just want to ask this question as we're coming up on close here. Connor, what are your thoughts about pass interference possibly being made reviewable? Are you for that or no? Because this is a hot topic in light of what happened in the Rams and the Saints game in the NFC Championship.
I'm for reviewing it by challenge. Now, I don't know if reviewing every single one is going to be a good call for the NFL, but reviewing it by challenge makes sense to me. Because there's a whole bunch of games where a coaches won't use both challenges. You get maybe even give them a third challenge, just like you give them a timeout, give them a third challenge just to really look at it. I think if they do take that approach to it, where you will be penalized if you are just doing it to waste time, that will work out. If it turns into every stinking play we're reviewing it, you're gonna have a problem.
You hit it right on the head there. I'm totally with you, Connor. I think that. This is one of those things that, you know, if you got a challenge and you want to use it there and you think it was pass interference, then throw the flag. But you shouldn't have an endless amount, and the NFL shouldn't be reviewing every possible pass interference. It's football. I mean, Nate Burleson put it very well when he was talking about this on the NFL Network. He went on to say, quote, it's all a strategy at this point. And if you have a challenge flag that can be applied to anything, you're going to toss it out there. Someone else... they just toss it out there hoping, look at that replay, there's a hold out there somewhere. You know, they can do anything, and then you can say, hey, there was a pass interference. And then Boomer Esiason agreed. It's football. It's a physical sport. If you're looking for a flag to be thrown somewhere, I'm pretty sure you can find one with 22 exactly. guys on the football field, Connor. Yeah.
Now, with that being said, in the last 2 minutes, absolutely. Do the same thing you do with everything else that is questionable. Review it then. That's cool, because at this point, the NFL viewer is accepted that the last 2 minutes of a football game are going to be 20 in real time. So,
right. I hear you, and I totally hear you. I just don't want this to disrupt the flow of the game. So, and we'll dive more into this on tomorrow's Current Sports, because I Roger Goodell and the NFL, they're going to look at this in the offseason. And there are a few other components to this conversation that could help the game in a way, but could also really hurt it. All right? That and more on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Until then, stay warm, be safe, and be easy, people.